Good Shepherd Sermon for Sunday, November 18th, 2018, Pastor Paul Talbert. Good Shepherd Lutheran Church and School is located in Wisconsin Rapids, Wisconsin, in the United States. Our mission is simple and bold. We seek to grow in faith and knowledge of our Savior Jesus. We want to make him known to others so that they too may share the joys that Jesus has won for them. Here's Pastor.
God's word for meditation this morning is taken from the book of Mark, but it goes on beyond what we just got through reading. We're reading a little section that talks about where the disciples pull Jesus aside, and they're kind of awed by the cool stuff that was going on in the religion of their day, and they thought it was just. And Jesus says, "No, you got to know this," and he tells them at their request, "When are you going to come back again?" So continuing from Mark chapter 13, starting with verse 32, Jesus says, "No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Watch, be alert, and pray, because you do not know when the time will come." It's like a man going away on a journey, and when he left his home, he put his servants in charge and assigned what each one was to do. He also commanded the doorkeeper to keep watch. "Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house is coming, whether in the evening or at midnight or when the rooster crows or early in the morning. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone, keep watch." May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our defender. Amen. I like what Jesus does here. He is the perfect teacher. If we could just get just a little bit of how he teaches, what phenomenal blessings would come our way. He starts by gathering up all of time from the time that he exists until the time that he comes back in glory. He gathers it all up in one big heap. And he says, all right, here it is. This is all the time. He says, it's kind of like all this time between my first coming and my second coming is like a night. And I'm going to come back again in all my glory, and no one knows if I'm going to come back in the first watch of the night or the second or the third or the last watch. Now, in the Jewish day of reckoning, there were only three watches in the night. But by this time, there are four watches in the night, because the Romans had their influence on how people kept track of time. And Jesus says, it doesn't matter. It's all night. You don't know when I'm coming back. So, dear servants of Christ, keep watch. Be alert. And do the work. This whole story that Jesus uses, I grew up in a household like that. I'm sure that many of you did it as well. I was blessed to have a mom and a dad who every now and then they would just say, Mom and I are going to go out. We're going to do some errands. Paul, you pick up your room. Margo, you pick up Keith's room because Keith and Paul really need the help. And Keith, you got to help out Paul. And Paul, you got to help out Keith. And all three of you, then, you go downstairs and you pick up that toy room. It's a mess. And you might as well cut out the dishes, too, get those all washed and dried, and we'll be back. And then they get in the car and they go. I'll let you know, we did not sit at home and say, well, I guess they're gone, and go back to bed. We did not sit there and turn on cartoons right away and watch the cartoons right away. Because we knew something. Number one, we knew that my dad was a man of his word. So if he says he's coming back, he's coming back. Number two, we knew that he had given us a task to do. And he anticipated and expected that we would each do the task that was assigned to us before he came back. He uses that same very common picture to say, watch out, be on your guard. Don't fall asleep because you don't know when the time will come. It's in the Greek language. It's so cool because the Lord piles up words on words on words. He uses again and again, keep watch, don't fall asleep, be on your guard, hello, wake up, hello, again and again. I don't know how much more serious you can make this. Be alert, don't go to sleep, don't get sleepy, watch and do your work while you're waking up. He puts the servants in charge, each with his assigned task. And again, going back, it's actually, he gave his servants the authority, each for his work. Well, as a Christian, when I read this, I immediately think of what he did when he came back to life again and his disciples were all gathered. What had happened? He gathered them together, and we're told that he breathed on them. And he said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone their sins, they're forgiven. If you don't forgive them, they're not forgiven. Jesus gave a group of very scared guys the phenomenal authority to set someone free from guilt, to open up paradise for people, to give them a joy and a peace that goes beyond understanding. His authority he gave to these guys. And then what happens on Pentecost? The Holy Spirit comes like Jesus promised, and he dumps out all of his gifts and all of his Holy Spirit on all of his believers. And we're still in that process today. He still gives us his Holy Spirit. He still provides for us. He still says, I have a job for you to do. It's kind of like an aircraft carrier, maybe. I had no clue of the size of the aircraft carriers until I realized it was like a city floating on the ocean. Thousands of people are on that boat. That boat has a task to be carried out, and it's doing its task. Each one of the guys on that boat has an assigned task to carry out. And guess what? In the military, they don't want you saying, okay, I gotta do this. No, you do it eagerly, and you do your very best, and you do it all the time, and you are faithful, and you never miss. Oh, guess what? We are on a mission. God says, go to the whole world with this wonderful good news that I have forgiven every sin in the life, death, and resurrection of my Son. They need to know. They are in darkness. You are light. They are rotting to the core. You are salt to prevent that from rotting. So go. That's the task. And each one of us has been given a gift by the Holy Spirit of an assigned task within this whole big thing. We don't see the whole big picture. I was just sharing with someone before church that you don't see the whole big picture all the time. Every now and then, God gives you a little glimpse of one part of that picture. What is your task? What's your assignment? As God has us all on this mission to go reach the whole world. It says in the book of Romans, just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. We have a worldwide task. It's too big for any one of us individually. So God gathers us together, and he gives us and enables us with his Holy Spirit to be a part of that whole plan that he's working out. So if you're a young mom, what's your task? Look at that child that the Lord has given to you, or those children the Lord has given to you. Your task is to bring them up, the Lord says, in the awesome respect and great love for the Lord. To teach them about the God who never breaks his promises. to teach them about the God who loved them so much that he lived and he died for them. You can't find a friend like that. What if you're not a young mom? What if you're an elderly person? Oh. What if you're an elderly person who is in a place in life where you can't even come to church and worship anymore? Instead of getting discouraged, be the prayer warrior that God needs. When I go out to meet people who are shut in, who cannot come for a variety of reasons, some of it's health, some of it is mental health, some of it is just practical ways, how do I get from point A to point B? Whatever reason why they want to be here, they cannot be here. So I say, well, guess what? And I give them the name of someone to pray for because the Lord listens to prayer. And he wants us to pray. What if your skill is organizing? I talked with the pastor a couple years ago. He was wondering how in the world our congregation here at Good Shepherd could do everything that we're doing. Because he knew me, that I was not organized. I might be a faithful man, I might be a godly man, but I'm certainly not organized. And I said, well, the Lord knows that too. And in all of the leadership positions here, he has placed people who are able to not only organize themselves, but able to help others be organized. What a blessing that is. Maybe you have a practical skill, like how to nail a board. Maybe you have a practical skill of some sort that some project's going on and you can help. The Lord says, whatever it is, do it with an attitude like you would if you're on a great big ship, on a task, and your job is to show up and do it eagerly and faithfully and to do it well, because that's your job. Scriptures say, well, before I let you know what they say, I'll let you know how we think. We sometimes think, well, I don't want to do that. It's my body. It's my mind. It's my choice. And what does the Lord say when those little selfish worms start to go through our minds? He says, you are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. We are supposed to be and to behave like kids in a home waiting for dad to come back from doing errands with mom. Doing the very best we can, maybe even a little bit more because dad didn't see that this or that thing needed doing. God says, keep awake. So don't believe the voices that are saying God is dead. He's very much alive and well, thank you very much. Don't fall asleep into thinking that, well, God does not care, and the world's going really, really bad. No, he does care. And at just the right time, he has promised to act. Go back to his word again and again. Keep watch. Keep watch. Keep watch. You do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight or when the rooster crows or at dawn. How often he uses that word, keep watch. How do you keep watch? I cannot command to you how you are to keep watch. I can just tell you what I do. I start off the day with prayer, even before I get out of bed. I make sure I read part of God's word. I focus on what God is doing in the world. I pray for our missionaries. If I know them by name, I pray for them. I pray for the people around us, not just here, but those in California dealing with fires, those in Indonesia dealing with tsunamis, those dealing with earthquakes, plagues in Africa. There's countless things to bring to the Lord's attention because the Lord wants us to do that. He already knows, but he wants us to let him know that we would like him to act on something sooner than later and through it all to protect his people. Living in preparedness, yet always being ready for Jesus is a hard thing. You've been waiting 2,018 years, right? Well, what if he doesn't come? Well, what if he comes in my grandkids' lifetime? Maybe not mine. The Lord says to be prepared anytime. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. You know, he's not referring to the occasional acts of sin that you and I fall into. We don't want to sin and we still fall into sin. He's not talking about that. He's talking that sometimes you can fall into a sin and fall into a sin and fall into a sin, and pretty soon it becomes a habit, and before you know it, you're rebelling against God. Think back, if you're a lifelong Christian, think back to how many Christians you know in your little sphere who are no longer Christian. Maybe that's even happened in your family, where once they had the truth, but then little by little, a little thing, a little sin was nurtured, and the sin grew into a habit, and the habit grew into full-blown rebellion, and now they don't believe in God anymore. I've had young men and women come to this altar, the altar of the church where I was before here, and the altar of the church before that, and they have sworn to God that they will be faithful to the last breath that comes out of their body. And what happens? Pretty soon they listen to the world. And they think God is not that big deal. Maybe there's many gods. Maybe there is no God. And they throw away their faith. When the Lord comes, as he says he will, and he's never broken a promise, if he comes suddenly, don't let him find you sleeping. Just like you don't want dad and mom to come back from doing the errands and find out that you haven't done a lick of work because you're rebelling against them. The Lord says there is a day of accounting. That's the icky thing, right? But you and I are alive to hear those words of God and to hear him say, come to me. You're burdened by your sin. Come to me. I will give you rest. You'll find rest for your soul. One more thing to leave you with. And that when Jesus comes back, every place he comes back is pictured as night. Which means, you know, the world is going to look really dark. It's not going to get better. It's going to keep on getting worse and worse. People are going to be continuing to be wicked, and they're continuing to find more wicked ways to be wicked. And then we're told they're going to be brazen in their wickedness, in your face, as they mock the living God and his word. So what can you do to stay awake? You go back to God and his word, and you remind yourself, this is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of the living, in whose presence one day, by his incredible grace, you and I are going to stand. We didn't do a lick of work to get up there. He says, you're coming with me. Oh, by the way, before I get you there, I have some things for you to do. Tell the whole world what I've done for you. Because I've done it for the whole world, and they don't know yet. And as you look around you, you're going to see, boy, it's really dark out there. People are actually enjoying rebelling against their parents. They're enjoying making fun of authorities in charge. They're enjoying being lazy. They're thinking they're getting away with things, and then they steal things. Yeah, they do need the light. And Jesus says, you are the light. Not you will be the light. He says, right now you are. So in God's name and by God's grace, so let us live this week. Amen.